Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the program. I'm Peter Sampson. This is Believe in Blazers on the Believe Podcast Network. Great to be with you after a little bit of a gap. It's always something, right? And I'll tell you what, my always something seems to involve Paul George every time. I'll tell you about that later here in the podcast. We're talking about Chauncey Billups, Scoot Henderson, DeAndre Ayton. The final week look ahead. Blazers just finished a 7-game road trip. They are back at home for 3 before finishing things out on the road. But I got to talk about this injury. You haven't heard from me in a little bit, not a crazy long time, but a little bit. It's like, yo, Samson, are you still doing this podcast? Well, I assure you I am. But a couple weeks ago, Portland Trail Blazers take on the Los Angeles Clippers, right? 2 games against the Clippers, a home and home. I think it was a Wednesday, Thursday. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I go to the home game. I sit on press row. Everything is hunky-dory and as normal as possible. The Blazers fall in that first game against the Clippers. LA just sort of takes turns, right? James Harden goes off early, then Kawhi, then PG-13. And you go, okay, well, that was a good night. I'm going to go home, going to write. And here's the deal is I like to park by Lloyd Center. They do provide media parking, but it fills up really fast at Moda Center. So unless I want to get there at like 2 p.m., I either have the option of paying for parking, which I refuse to do, or I can just park by Lloyd and hit the max. If you're a Blazers fan, you know the drill. You park by the movie theater, you hit the max, you roll in. I do that as well, even as a media member. And so it's after the game. Chauncey does his thing. Everyone goes to the locker room. I peace out. And I hit the max. I get off at the Lloyd Center stop. I walk around the park. And right in front of Lloyd Center there, like exactly at the spot where it's not underground parking, but like you can pull into the driveway at the mall itself, not surrounding it. And it kind of just goes down a little bit right there. The sidewalk is in terrible condition and I'm not paying attention. I'm texting Kim while I walk and the sidewalk is cracked. And it's one of those things where one part of where it's cracked is higher than the other. And I just put my foot on backwards. I just roll my ankle over, just blast it. And, you know, you hear the pop, you know, athletes always talk about hearing I heard it pop. Yeah, so do out of shape media members. I heard it pop and I don't fully go down, but I want to. And the only reason I don't is there's like other dudes walking around in the area and you don't want to humiliate yourself, right? And so I kind of gather myself. I'm texting Kim, you know, and then I'm like, oh, by the way, I just blasted my ankle, put my foot on backwards. This is going to be a nightmare getting home, just pressing the gas pedal. And I'm only like a block and a half from my car. And so I just, you know, if I had less dignity, I would have army crawled there, but I don't. So I didn't. And instead, I just kind of limp there and sit in there. All right, you know, make my way home. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. And within a couple days, my right foot is basically purple from my toes to halfway up my shin. And it's better now. It like normal hurts now, like how a regular sprained ankle would be. That's kind of how it feels now. But it was all jacked up. Not good. And it seems to happen whenever Paul George is in town. If you followed me on the AM radio dial, hell, this might have even been when 750 The Game also had the FM 102.9 simulcast, which they no longer do. It's a great business decision there. It was the year of Dame's shot against OKC. And if you remember before that series, Paul George was dealing with a shoulder injury, and it was a whole will he, won't he play? We don't know. We don't know what's going on. And so the station sends me out to the game, cover the game, try to get some quotes. Most importantly, find out what is up with Paul George. And so because it's the playoffs, so press row is section 113. And if it's a big game or playoff game, a lot of the times they take us radio scrubs, or I guess I'm a podcast scrub now, and they stick us in the 200 level, which I get, because that's when ESPN and national folks come in. And you're not going to stick them way up far away. Totally get that decision. And so I'm up in the 200 levels, and it's not on the sideline like section 113. It's on a baseline, right? And so I don't even remember what section it is, you know, 218 or whatever it is. And I'm sitting there kind of just hanging out, playing on my phone, talking to other people. It's well before game time. And Paul George comes out to warm up. Well, here it is. Here it is. And so I need to run down and I need to get some photos of Paul George shooting around like, yo, it looks like this guy's going to go. And we need to get this. I need to tweet this out. And I need to send it to my bosses at the station so we can get an article on their website. And you want to be timely with this. You know, a lot of times you rush. That's how you get incorrect information. People just running with things. A picture of a dude warming up is a pretty good indication he's going to go, or at least he's going to give it a shot. And I need to be fast. And so I immediately jump out of my seat and I start bombing down the stairs on a baseline, right? Go from the 200 level to the 100 level. And if you've ever had killer seats at Moda Center, you know, in the 100 level, it goes like row N, M, O, you know, it goes backwards. And eventually you get to A, and then it becomes, I don't know where it starts, but say double L, you know, double H, da, 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 all the way to double A is your very, very front row courtside. And I get down into the doubles. And this doesn't seem to be the case anymore. They fixed this a couple years ago, I think. But when you get there, it's less stairs and it's more like gentle platforms. And it's almost like sheet metal instead of just the concrete, you know. And I'm going. Got to get this shot. And I get basically on the court, or on the out of bounds area off of the stands. And right when I do that, there's this little lip, maybe 3/4 of an inch. It's not a step. It's not even, it's a little lip. And I hit that and I do my left ankle the same way I just did my right ankle a couple weeks ago. And that was humiliating, because all the Thunder fans, you know, there's like 1,000 of them, are they let you down close in that area to watch warmups. And as I go down, and oh, I completely went down, I just hear a crowd go, oh, and that's the worst. And I'm laying on the ground and I look towards the court, and Joe Becker, TV sports guy, and Dwight James are both there. Joe Becker's got a camera on him. And they kind of look at me and they don't laugh. That'd be a jerk move, but they kind of snicker, you know, a chuckle. I'm like, well, that was humiliating. Okay, I got to get this shot. And then an usher comes over and is essentially, just to make a long story short, is like, are you drunk? And I'm like, no, here's my press pass. I'm a member of the media. I came down to get this shot, and which I have yet to get. Well, I need to get my boss over here. We need to make sure that you're not all jacked up on Jameson's Irish whiskey or methamphetamine or whatever it is. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, that's fine. I understand you got a job to do. I got a job to do. Let's get this done. Are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. And the thing is like, I'm not okay. It like, it's already just throbbing and swelling up. And I go, okay. So they come over, they talk to me for a minute. They see I'm clearly not incapacitated under the influence of anything. I'm like, I just need to get this shot. It's fine. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, hold the arena liable I'm not, all I need to do is get this shot in a quick 10 seconds of video. They let me get that. They're like, yeah, obviously you're not jacked up. You're just hurt. You're just a klutz, a fool. Yes, I am. Thank you. I'm so embarrassed. My pride is hurt worse than my ankle. That wasn't true, but I used that line. And then I make my way back up to the 200 level and I sit there. And here's the deal is at the time I was doing a post-game radio show. We were not the home of the Blazers, so I couldn't call it a Blazers radio show. I certainly couldn't call it the fifth quarter. We already have one of those, but it was called the last quarter, and it was essentially in a quote-unquote, I'm making air quotes right now, an NBA wrap-up show. But obviously, it was a Blazers wrap-up show, and it was a way to get some ratings from people driving home from the game. And so I needed to leave in the fourth quarter of the game to get back to the station to start broadcasting as soon as the game ended, right? And I do that, but they have so many of us local guys like cramped into the 200 level. There's no leg room. And you got to understand, I'm 6'3", and I'm not 6'3", like Damian Lillard is 6'3". I'm actually 6'3". Damian Lillard's 6 feet tall, by the way. And so I can't even move my legs for like 2 hours. And you know, if you've ever, you know, jacked up your knee or your ankle or something like that, the worst thing you could do is immediately keep it the opposite of elevated, no ice, no compression, just nothing. And you don't move it. So it just sits there for 2 hours and it's like, okay, all right, third quarter ended. I got to go and get on the air. And as soon as I try to stand up, I go, oh boy, this is going to be bad. Like I can barely move, barely. And so I take the Max to Pioneer Square, the Alpha Media, 750 The Game Studios are downtown and on 6th and Jefferson. And so I look in a green line, which runs right down that street, is not coming. And so I just have to limp my way down a few blocks from Pioneer Square to the studios. I do the show. And again, same thing. It's all jacked up. It's purple from my shins to my toes. And I'm that guy that has wink ankles, by the way. Since I was like 15, I do this every couple years. I just didn't realize that Paul George was going to be the common thread. And so, okay, fine. It gets better. I have a funny story to tell on the air. You know, callers call in and make fun of me and people tweet at me making fun of me. And that's good. That's good. It's what I wanted. Engagement. Fast forward years, you know, go to 2020, 2021, what have you. I'm in a relationship with a woman, Kim, who I'm still with, and her background is she is a critical care nurse. And so you got to understand a little bit of background. I didn't go to the doctor with this. I've done it before. It's fine, whatever. Yes, I have health insurance at the time, but I'm working on a radio salary. The last thing I want to do is like hit that, you know, whatever it was. I don't remember, $1,000 deductible, $2,500 deductible. Like, I don't want to jerk with that, man. It's fine. It's fine. I got to limp around. Maybe I got to be on crutches for a day or two. I'll be okay. I've done this before. Fast forward a few years. Hanging out watching TV, barefoot, you know, on the couch on one side. I'm sprawled out. Kim's sitting on the other end. She's kind of rubbing my foot. And she just rubs the top of my foot and goes, when did you break your foot? And I go, what are you talking about? And she's like, don't you feel that? And I kind of reach down and feel it. Yeah, my foot. It's got a big bony bump in it. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know when I did that. It's when I was trying to get a photo of Paul George. Yeah, you probably should have went and saw someone. Don't you feel how that healed back unevenly? Yeah, I guess I do. Whoops. That's why you should go to the doctor if you hurt yourself, I guess. Now ask me, did I go to the doctor this time, a couple weeks ago? No, I don't want to hit that deductible. So here we are. So next time Paul George comes to town, whether it's with the Clippers or the rumored possible move to the Philadelphia 76ers in the offseason, we'll see about that. Probably going to go ahead and sit that one out. Maybe just watch that on TV.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Maybe listen to Travis Demers on the radio. You know what I mean? Ugh, it was no good. Anyway, that's where I've been. And it's been an interesting week for the Trailblazers while I've been gone, too. Or 2 weeks, I guess I should say. We'll start with the coach, Chauncey Billups, man. I know he's divisive. I don't really mind Chauncey. Do I think he's a championship-level coach? At this point, no. No, I don't. Do I think he's a cool dude? I do. Do I think he's good with the media? Yeah. Do I think he's the perfect guy for Scoot Henderson, especially while Scoot struggles? Well, let's see. A drafted third overall point guard who struggled in his first couple years before excelling and leading the team to a championship? Yeah, I sort of think he is the guy for Scoot, at least for now. Well, Chauncey Billups made the Hall of Fame. I'm not surprised. He was, you know, he was a finalist along with Vince Carter a month ago, 6 weeks ago, whenever that happened. And looking at the Hall of Fame class, it's not a surprise. And I'll be honest, as a player, I loved me some Chauncey Billups, man. Those Detroit teams were so much fun just because they didn't have a true star, right? Yeah, I know Ben Wallace was essentially, he could have won the Defensive Player of the Year every year for a stretch. And they had Sheed, but Sheed, you know, always kind of drove me crazy because if Sheed wanted to be the best power forward in the NBA, he could have been, but he didn't want it. And in hindsight, you know, I guess that makes him a great teammate, which all his teammates vouch for him, you know, even ones that fought with him. But, you know, he didn't want that greatness. But they were such a fun team, and especially, you know, going up against, say, the Lakers, where, you know, it's the big-time star power. It was team basketball that sort of overcame star power basketball. At least that's sort of the impression that those teams left. They were super fun. Chauncey, winner, showed up big time. I love it. I'm not going to say it's about time. I think he got in around the right time. You know, it's not a situation where it's, oh, he needs first year eligibility. He needs to be in immediately. Well, no, you know, he's not Magic Johnson, but also he was a very, very good player and he showed up when it mattered. Vince Carter also in. Michael Cooper also in. And this is wild to me. No disrespect to Coop. No disrespect to the big white tube socks that he would rock every game. This is a dude that was, how many times do you think Michael Cooper was an all-star? None. Not one time was Michael Cooper an all-star. And yeah, you know, he made, what, 6 all-defensive teams, 7 all-defensive teams. Yeah, they won some championships. Yeah, he had that game where he banged out 6 three-pointers before that was actually a thing. That selection surprises me. Like, are we just going to put every 80s Laker and Boston Celtic into the Hall of Fame? Apparently, but that's a conversation for another day, I guess. But Chauncey Billups in the Hall of Fame, congrats to him. And I mentioned Scoot, Chauncey Billups kind of being the guy for Scoot. It's funny, we're 17 and a half minutes into this pod, and I've yet to talk about actual Blazers basketball. There's not a ton to talk about right now, to be honest. You can always find something, and I have, but it's not like the games are super exciting right now. The reason to watch right now is for Scoot's development and to check that injury report every single day in the afternoon to see if Shaedon Sharpe is actually going to go. We'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Shaedon Sharpe goes on Tuesday at home for the Portland Trail Blazers. But Scoot at this point, with Simons seemingly shut down, obviously Brogdon has been shut down. Scoot's got run in the backcourt, and it's been a mixed bag. I've enjoyed it. I've liked what I've seen. But at the same time, he's sort of, I don't want to say taking a step back, but maybe half a step back since right before the All-Star break. And I don't think these are things that can't be figured out in the offseason. That's why I'm excited for them to get back home. I kind of want to ask some of these guys, what are they going to be working on, focusing on during the summertime after they get a few weeks to clear their heads, get away from the game? You know, with Scoot, to me, it's turnovers. And kind of related to that, it's footwork. Like, you'll see a game in Scoot. Oh, man. Yeah, 16 points, 8 assists. That's fantastic. Well, what did he shoot? Oh, 3 for 13. That's not good. Oh, but all those 3 buckets were 3-pointers. And he went a perfect, say, 6 for 6 from the line. That's good. Oh, but he had 5 turnovers against 8 assists. That's bad. And, you know, I said it, you know, at Clutch Points, I wrote at the very beginning of the year, sort of a preview, bold predictions. And one was like, Scoot's going to electrify, but he's also going to struggle, right? Rookie point guard, especially, he's 20 now, but 19-year-old point guard. His style of play, it's that kind of Westbrook style of play. I think that Scoot will end up a better 3-point shooter than Russ. But look, turnovers are sort of the name of the game with that, right? And we're seeing that. But what I want to see out of Scoot Henderson this offseason, it's the footwork when he gets into the lane. He can blow by anybody already. He can get to the rim or at least into the paint. But then what are you going to do? Decision making. And how are you going to finish? And his footwork, it's just sometimes it's just a little wonky, isn't it? Like he'll try to elevate and get to the rack a little too early. And it's one of those things, if he's going up and he's trying, you know, just a Ja Morant tomahawk dunk, which he doesn't really do, does he? He's athletic, and athleticism was sold to the fan base, but it's a different type of athleticism. It's sort of point A to point B. It's not vertical, it's horizontal, right? But a lot of times he starts his move too far away from the rim, or worse, you know, he'll put himself in a tough position, jump off the wrong foot. The good news is, all that stuff, totally correctable. And probably mostly correctable just in an off season of just, I'm focusing on this. My footwork needs to get better. And I guarantee if I see it and, you know, you see it, the Blazers see it too. It's not something that you can address too hard in a regular season, right? Practice time's limited. You got to focus on games, do all this. It's not really like, hey, let's revamp your footwork here as we're still playing the season. But once the games are done, I expect that's something that he's really going to.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Focus on, really going to work on, and it's going to be better next year. I'm excited to see what that looks like. Hopefully better. Speaking of better as the season goes on, DeAndre Ayton, who we talked about last time, still crushing it. And it's awesome to see DeAndre in a position where he can just sort of thrive and be the guy. And if this team's fully healthy, he's not the guy. But I love DeAndre Ayton as sort of a 2B option. You have a 2A and 2B, you know, DeAndre Ayton and Jeremy Grant. Grant continues to be quote-unquote doubtful every game. I don't know why they're just not shutting him down, because that's what they're doing. At least that's how it appears to me. But yet they leave Grant doubtful every game and then just announce he's out 3-4 hours before game time. But DeAndre Ayton making the most of his minutes and his time, so much of it, the team just wasn't integrating him. And he's a guy that needs the ball in his hand at least a little bit. Don't get me wrong, he's not a Jokic or, you know, Joel Embiid, one of those guys where, yeah, he needs to have like a 35% usage rate and you run the offense through him. Nothing like that. But dude needs his touches. He's on that next tier down where, you know, he's not the best center in the league. He's probably borderline top 10. The way he's playing, he's certainly in the top 10, but he's just that next step down. I know I've talked to Sean Hyken in Rose Garden Report. He tends to agree with that as well, where he's just in that next tier. But it's awesome to see him sustain this level of play. Of course, there is the caveat that the Blazers aren't playing for much right now, and a lot of guys that would take potentially shots from Ayton are out. But regardless, when he first started busting out in the second half of the season, You saw Suns fan come in. Oh, yeah, enjoy it. He'll do it for five games and then he'll disappear. He does it every year. Well, you know, he hasn't. And no, he doesn't. And it's great to see. Good attitude, good approach, and great production. Great production. I'm looking forward to see if he can maintain that. Next year, are the Blazers going to keep him involved from the jump? Because you got to assume, you know, Simons is going to be healthy. Shaedon Sharpe's going to be back. Scoot's going to be a little bit better. You presume Jeremy Grant's going to be on the team. I do not presume Malcolm Brogdon will be on the team, but what if he is? You know, all these guys need shots. Tumani Kamara's offensive production is improved. He'll be back, et cetera, et cetera. How do you keep DeAndre Ayton involved? How do you keep getting him shots? To me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I know those shots have to come from somewhere. DeAndre Ayton, for a minute, was the best mid-range shooter percentage-wise in basketball. Now, last check, he's third, fourth. He's definitely up there. I mean, you just do it because it's one of the best shots that you have. Get DeAndre Ayton the ball, let him shoot that midi. Let the national people that don't watch the games joke about him averaging 1.4 free throws. Well, yeah, it's because he's cashing 17-footers all night. Yeah, he's not really going to – they're not going to wrap him up while he's doing that. Feel me? And so you got to do it. You have to give him his looks. But we'll see how Portland works that out next year. I mean, again, you don't really have the luxury of having so much talent that you can force that to happen. Their shots need to go around for the Blazers. A lot of these guys are coming back. I mean, we'll see what happens with Simons. I think all three guards, Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, Scoot Henderson, all three are back next year. I think based on injuries, and Scoot maybe was a little less ready than the team and fans had hoped that he was, I think they want one more year to see all of them together before they make the decision. It's clear to everyone that a decision needs to be made, but I don't think that they're forced to make it this offseason. Now, that being said, Malcolm Brogdon, look for Brogdon to most likely be sent to a relatively contending team, I would imagine. I mean, he'd be good anywhere. He's one of those guys. He's a pro. I mean, Blazers, not a great team this year. He's done well for them. So every team in the NBA could use a Malcolm Brogdon. You know what I mean? And that's really what it comes down to. A player can be good. I remember, you know, talking about trading Yusuf Nurkic last year, and you go, well, yeah, but what team goes, you know what, we're just a Yusuf Nurkic away. It's not that he's a bad player, he's a fine player, but it's a matter of fit, and it's fit versus contract, and all those things matter. Malcolm Brogdon, he's great with a young team, a rebuilding team. He can start for a championship contending team. He can be a sixth man for a championship contending team. I would look for him to go. I also wouldn't be surprised if the Blazers look to maybe package that Golden State pick with Brogdon for something a little extra nice. We'll see what happens there. So we've got just a week left in the NBA regular season here. Tuesday, tomorrow, Portland Trail Blazers take on the New Orleans Hornets. CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson. New Orleans has been nice this year. They finally put things together. Brandon Ingram, he did injure his knee a couple weeks ago. He has resumed activities, but he will not play on Tuesday. Then Thursday, also at home, taking on the Golden State Warriors. That's one you'd love to win just because it's fun to win while Golden State fan is in the house having paid way too much money. I'm looking right now at the schedule, and it's, you know, Tuesday, April 9th versus New Orleans, tickets as low as $5. Thursday versus Golden State, tickets as low as $36. It's because Blazer fan, I know you and I know what you like to do, and that's gouge Laker fan and gouge Warriors fan. I know that because when I had season tickets, I do the same damn thing. Good for you. So that would be a fun one to win, especially because the Blazers are essentially locked where they are in the lottery odds. So it'd be nice to maybe help that Golden State pick just be a little bit better. And then, of course, Friday, April 12th against the Rockets at 7 p.m. That is Fan Appreciation Night. Oh, boy. Fan Appreciation Night. I'm going to hit this in the next episode in a couple days. But I did get the email about Fan Appreciation Night and what they're doing. I wish they were doing more. I do. I'll leave it at that. I wish they were doing a little bit more. We'll talk about that later in the week. But just a few home games left. Of course, then the Blazers hit the road to wrap up their season against the Sacramento Kings. And then they go home for the summer and look to bounce back next year after an NBA draft that sees them with two first-round picks and a whole lot of young players and some decisions to make. So we'll keep it going next episode later this week. We'll keep it going through the summer. I'm not going to take a ton of time off. I have a couple little vacation things going on, but for the most part, there's a lot of off-season speculation to get through. Appreciate you rolling with me. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get a podcast. If you've just come across this searching Blazers, Rip City, Portland, NBA, whatever it is, just subscribe to this podcast and we will deliver it right to your electronic device of choice. You can also follow me on Twitter at Peter Sampson, S-A-M-P-S-O-N. And we'll catch you next time. This has been Bleav in Blazers on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.